Dr. Chambers on Call, sponsored by City of Hope.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. No questions too dumb, no questions too tough, no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222. And here's Dr. Chambers.
I'm Dr. Chambers, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. In the next hour, is aging a disease? I mean, really, is it a disease? So does that mean if you're 30, you're sicker than if you're 20, if you're 40, 30 is sicker? Or you're sicker than when you're 30? Ah, what about being 60? What about being 80? Ah, marijuana, the DEA came out and said it is as serious and dangerous a drug as heroin. Is that a smart decision? And what about Michael Phelps winning all those medals? Do you think it was the cupping that helped him? What exactly is cupping? And if it makes Michael Phelps even better, should you be doing it? All that, your calls, and lots more in the next hour, live and local here with Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, we're living in an era where we're trying to get rid of discrimination, we're trying to get rid of racism, we're trying to get rid of misogyny, and all of these other great problems. But what about ageism? What about getting older? American society is very unforgiving if you get older. But here's the thing. Every day you wake up, you're a day older. Absolutely a day older. And nobody has ever beaten that. Ever. Ever, ever. Now we're living longer than we have ever in human history. Simple fact. Why do you think that is? Some people think it's because of the medicines. Some people think it's because we have spent more on healthcare here in America than any nation on earth. But the truth is not about medicine. Ah, no. The truth is this. We have better food than we ever have in the history of mankind. We have better housing than we ever have. And the third most important thing is public health. Public health. You probably don't quite have a concept of that. Think of it this way. Washrooms, toilets, clean water. All those things are very important. When the water's not clean, you get waterborne diseases, diarrhea, typhoid, all of it goes on and on. So when that's proper, when those three things are in there, a distant fourth would be the medicines that we doctors prescribe. When I was coming up through medical school, people talked about TB being the scourge of the early part of the 20th century. And I would have thought, hey, it's because those anti-TB medicines were developed. But in actual fact, TB was on the decline before the medicines. Better housing, better food. People were living in bigger housing, separated from one another, so the disease couldn't spread. Now, when we think of aging today, we think of it in totally different terms. In some ways, we think of it better. Think of the presidential candidates. Mrs. Clinton, 68. Mr. Trump, 70. Bernie Sanders, 74. 74. This year, Aretha Franklin at the Kennedy National Honors takes the place down with a great song, drops off her fur coat and starts singing. She's a whopping 74. Barbara Streisand is doing a new concert. Her voice, they're saying, is great. Not quite when she was 30, but she has a dynamism and a showmanship that's stunning. But at the same time, we tend to discriminate against people as they get older. In fact, the best line I heard this week was this. The best line was a millennial said to me, what most 40-year-olds don't understand is this. To millennials, 40 is the new 80. I went like, oh, baby, 40 is the new 80? Really? No, that's not so. But then I caught a clip of Judy Garland singing with Barbara Streisand when Miss Streisand first broke on the scene. And Miss Garland was what? About 42, 43 at the time. And she looked much older. Much, much older. Maybe that was alcohol related. Maybe it was pill related. But she looked much older. I always think of classic Hollywood, Gary Cooper. He was in his early 50s in High Noon, a famous Western that had a great fight scene. And people were worried about him. They thought, you know, he's so old. And yet, in modern days, we have Harrison Ford. In his, what, is he 70 now? Or pretty close to it? He's going to do another Indiana Jones. So in some ways, we're thinking of age differently, and in other ways, we're not. Scientists are telling us that our natural lifespan is what? 120 years of age. That we have the potential, each one of us, each one of you listening to me in your car, on the podcast, whatever, can hit 120. Very few of us do, of course. Very few of us do. Nobody has ever hit 130. The oldest person on record was 122 years of age. Wow. Now, it's not just enough to live longer, because as you live longer, your body kind of wears out. And that's where the repairmen are coming in. That's where people are talking about, hey, you know what? We can repair you. We can give you a new knee. In the not too distant future, we'll give you a new liver, a new heart, a new lung. Much easier than we're doing it today. Much, much easier. And then the other repairmen are saying, you know what we can do? We can put in stem cells, which are like cells that can turn into anything, can turn into your liver, into your heart, into muscle. We can give those to you and regenerate you, rejuvenate you. Or even we can get inside your cell and tweak your DNA. Get inside the cell itself, change stuff in there, edit it, turn it around, and guess what? Wow. We can make you not age as much. Maybe not turn back the clock. Maybe not do that. Of course, the social consequences of this are enormous, right? So you're going to live to be 120, 130. What does that mean for jobs? Maybe that means if you're in your 50s and you know you've got another good 50 years ahead of you, you might switch careers. You might switch from law to medicine, medicine to law. You might become an entrepreneur. Who knows? Who knows? The concept I want to get across to you initially in this is this concept, that our bodies are really wrappers for our genes. It's a shell for our genes. We can keep repairing the body and our genes will live on, our minds will live on, who we are will live on. Now that's kind of difficult to achieve. And the next part, I want to talk to you how we can achieve this. But first I want to remind you, you're listening to Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation or you have a medical question. Doesn't have to be what I'm talking about. It's whatever is on your mind about your health or your family's health. 800-222-5222. So we want to live longer. Who doesn't? Not only do we want to live longer, of course, we want to be healthy as we do it. We'd like to be what? We'd like to be as vigorous and healthy as we are in our 20s or 30s when we're 70 or 90 or 110. And some scientists, they say, hey, we can make you live longer. And in your 90s, you can run a marathon and compete with the people who are in their 20s. Now, when I hear that, I always laugh, go like, ah, that won't happen today or tomorrow. But people are striving now. People are changing stuff now, trying to achieve some of this. And they're sort of making some progress. The first way to do this is what's called calorie restriction, CR. And that means you live on about 1,900 calories a day. Whew, not that many calories. I don't think many of us Americans are going to restrict our food quite that much. But we know in animals, if you do this, decrease heart problems, decrease cancer, and decrease degenerative diseases like arthritis and all those other things that plague us as we get older. And the people who are actually living and practicing this say that they have a profound sense of well-being when they're on this low-calorie diet. But even when you take out heart problems, even when you take out cancer, you only prolong life by 5 or 6 years. That's all. 5 or 6 years. You probably would have thought it would be a lot more than that. No. Now, people want to give you drugs to make you age better. They want to give you drugs to make you stay youthful. And I kind of go like, phew, what drugs are out there? First off, you have to decide that aging is a disease, which I'm not quite willing to admit. I don't think aging is a disease. I think we could slow it down. I think we could prevent it. We can do all kinds of manipulation, but I don't really think it's a disease. But the feds are leaning towards that way. And recently they had this little announcement, which I thought was fascinating. And they said, we're looking forward to seeing this area of science evolving. Now, if you know the FDA, that's the equivalent of somebody in The Price is Right jumping up and down, go, oh, yes, 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 I got my $500. That's really exciting when it comes from the FDA. The drugs that are currently out there that affect aging, that are currently being used, that are currently being tested, the first one is called metformin, which has been around a long time, which I prescribe routinely to diabetics because that's where we commonly use it. And it was in the use of diabetics that we noticed that people who were on this aged better than people who weren't on it. And now, of course, the race is on to try and prove this categorically. There's another medicine called rapamycin, or A-P-A-M-Y-C-I-N, rapamycin. And that's an anti-rejection drug that we use in transplants. And again, we found that when we're using this drug, people didn't age that badly. Now, there's a lot of people leading the way on this. And some of the people leading the way on this, guess what? They're taking some of these drugs themselves. I would not encourage you to do this because these drugs can be dangerous, especially rapamycin. A lot of problems on it, a lot of problems. And why would I prefer drugs over calorie restriction, which you can do on your own? Well, we think the drugs will get better than they are now. Most of us won't be able to stick to the calorie restrictions. If Big Pharma gets involved, you know they're going to make better drugs over time because, let's face it, everybody ages, so everybody will want these drugs. It's just that simple. And there's a lot of people out there pushing stuff. And the stuff they're pushing are things like stem cell therapies, what we call regenerative medicine. Now, this has come up in the show many times when people call and they want to know, will stem cells cure this or cure that? Forget about aging. And what I want to get across in all of this is very simple. There's a lot of hope and hype and quackery when it comes to stem cells. And we really don't know how much of a treatment they're going to be, how good they're going to be. So you got to be very careful. And there's places in California offering you consults that says, spend $25,000 in our anti-aging clinic and we will help you age better. And all that stuff is, as of yet, unproven. And what I want to get across is this. I don't think aging is a disease, but I think we will age differently. The medications that are already out there, like metformin, rapamycin, they will get better and people will be offering them to you. But what do we have nowadays that will make you definitely age better? Without doubt, exercise, minimizing your alcohol, don't do street drugs, keep your weight down. You do those basic things, you don't need to go to an anti-aging clinic. Not at all. You just need to do those. 800-222-5222 is the number to call with whatever is on your mind. Remember, no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions too embarrassing. Not on this show. I can't even see your face. It's radio. 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers On Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
CNN's newsroom, these people are full force pro-Hillary commie pinkos. It's like CNN is the jilted ex-girlfriend.
To hear more, tune in to Sam Nation, Saturday at 3 p.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100 plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100 plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Brien, CEO of Postings.com. BBB knows that we pride ourselves on helping businesses of all sizes find the best candidates for their open positions. Earning an A-plus rating from the BBB demonstrates our commitment to providing exceptional customer service. We strive to make hiring easy. Our BBB accreditation proves that you can trust us to help you find your next great employee. Postings.com invites you to check out our reviews at BBB.org or post your jobs at Postings.com.
Now through August 23rd, save $2 instantly when you purchase two participating Kimberly-Clark items at Smart & Final. Choose from selected Kleenex facial tissues, Huggies Snug and Dry Jumbo Pack diapers, Scott paper towels or bathroom tissue, and more. See store or smartandfinal.com for complete details.
We got a real good show for you.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, George Clooney, Jack Nicholson, and others stop by.
Well, I've got Meryl Streep and Sandy Bullock on the roster for next week. Can't wait. Busy week.
Oh, wait. That's Ellen, not us.
No, it's us.
Oh, okay. We'll go with that. Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Okay. This is Dr. Chambers on call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Who am I? I'm an acute care physician. I look after people exactly like you. Listen to me in the car, on the podcast. Not a celebrity doctor. You're not a celebrity. We're in simpatico here. You want to call, you want to chat about whatever is on your mind, about your health, your family's health. Maybe you've had a new diagnosis, new treatment, whatever it is. 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. The Olympics, full swing. Love them. All those perfect bodies doing these sports, and they're just excelling. And I saw Michael Phelps, who's going to go down in history as what? An all-time god? He has 21, the last I checked, 21 individual gold medals, beating the famous Greek Olympian from way, way, way back, Leonidas. Now, not the chocolate guy. That's how much athletics I know. Leonidas is chocolates. No, it's the original Greek guy who won all those medals way back when none of us were around. But one of the things I noticed on Michael Phelps when he was swimming, when he was about to dive in, were all what looked like giant hickey marks on his back, on his shoulders. And I thought, like, what? What is he doing? Then I discovered that he's cupping. And it's all the rage at the Olympics. What exactly is cupping? It's just a fancy way of giving yourself a big bruise. Kind of like a hickey when someone sucks on your skin. You know that? It's kind of. And they were all over it. And he thinks it makes him swim better. Does it? Let's take a call and we go back to Michael Phelps in a second. Hi, Rose. You're on the air. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
What's going on?
Well, I had hip surgery in November the 2nd. And I was told that it might make one of my legs a little bit longer, but it probably wouldn't. And I came out of it with my surgery leg a full inch longer than my other leg.
Ooh.
And
Rose, before you go any further, let me just ask you, that was November of last year?
Yes, November of last year.
And why did you need the surgery?
My left hip was filled with arthritis.
Okay.
And I was having a lot of difficulty with it.
So you're having a lot of pain?
I was at the time, yes.
And you couldn't really function in your everyday life?
No, not at all. I really needed the surgery.
Okay, so those are the two criteria that everybody listening should understand. If you're going to have surgery like this, you're going to have any surgery, is there pain? Can I not do my regular stuff before you would agree to do this? Okay, so then what happened to you, Rose?
Well, I fell the day I came home from, I was in rehabilitation for a month.
Okay.
In a rehabilitation hospital for a month. I didn't realize it at the time, but they were keeping me there so long because of this complication.
Right.
They could see it. Normally, you're in rehabilitation hospital for about a week.
Okay. So when you say they could see it, that your one leg with the new surgery, with the new hip, was 1 inch shorter than the other leg.
Right.
Right.
And
now, just so that our listeners can understand what we're talking about, an inch may not sound a lot to you, but it's an enormous amount. It upsets your balance, how you walk, all kinds of stuff. It's a big problem. It's not a small problem. Go ahead, Rose.
I went home the first day I went home, I fell.
Yeah.
I was all by myself. There was no one to care for me. I fell. And I got back up, and about 3 or 4 days later, I fell again. I called the doctor each time, and they tried to minimize that. Of course, they didn't say anything about as one leg shorter than the other, but a few days later, the physical therapist came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's all set up. And I said, look at this. I have to stand on a book that's about an inch high in order to do any of my exercises. What's wrong here? Oh, I don't know. They're all covering up for each other.
Right. So when you did you talk to the surgeon? Was it did you talk to the surgeon herself?
Yes, I did finally. Got to the surgeon herself. And I already had gone to her office one time.
Okay.
And her PA, physician's assistant, said, oh, you know, I'm sure that'll heal right up. It's just all a part of the surgery. And
sure.
Just, you know, got to her. She says, oh, no, that's not an inch off. I said, well, let's measure it. Let me get it. No, I don't even need to measure it. I can tell you it's not an inch off. It's not even a half inch off.
Oh.
She put a piece of paper under my leg that was shorter and had me take a step back with that leg. No, that's not an inch. That's not even a half inch. Slid the piece of paper underneath my leg.
Okay.
I mean, just so this goes on for months. Then in February,
yeah,
I had a really bad fall.
Okay.
And the front of my head hit a chair and threw my head back. And it has damaged both of my eyes. The left one is going to be okay. The right one, I still am cross-eyed. I've seen double.
Okay, that's...
I've been to an ophthalmologist and just about everybody in his practice.
Yeah.
And now they're going to have to give me new eyeglasses with prisms in them to see if that can get my eye back and, yeah, correct it.
Okay.
So when I called her office, I was still trying to, you know, get some work with them.
Sure.
She offered to buy me a new pair of shoes.
Okay.
I'd already ordered mine. With a lift in them.
Okay, so just so our listeners know, Rose, we're not talking about Manolo Blancos. We're talking about orthopedic shoes. Not the most stylish of things, but they would help correct for the one inch, which, as we're beginning to understand now, means that your gait, your balance is off, and you can fall, which is a big problem for anybody, whether you're young or old. Falling means lots of problems. So then she offered you the shoes, and what happened?
On a one-time basis. The shoes that I was buying were $350.
Oh, okay.
And I'd already purchased them by the time she made this one-time offer. And I said, you know, at this point, then the hospital called me,
yeah,
doing a, you know, how are you doing sort of thing.
Sure.
All the way, you know, and I told them, here's how I'm doing, and told them the whole thing. So then she sent me a letter, certified letter, saying, in the short term, I'd like to buy you these shoes,
yeah,
and in the long term, in about 10 years to a month, I've just noticed suddenly that your right leg's got a lot of, or hip has a lot of arthritis in it, which was not true. I had no arthritis in my right leg.
Okay.
I'm gonna replace that hip, and then your two legs will match.
Oh. And you didn't jump for joy at this and say, yes, please do this.
Yes, please do this to my right hip, which you're lying, doesn't have any arthritis in it. So I went for a second opinion.
Good.
And he said, well, who was your surgeon? And I gave him her name. Oh, isn't she nice? He said to me, I said, I'm in the wrong place.
All right.
So he did all of these tests, the CAT scan to measure my legs.
Okay.
And he said, your legs actually only have a 3/8 inch difference. I said, why do these shoes with the inch lift work then?
Okay.
Oh, he says, the difference is in your, because of your back and your pelvis. I said, well, all of that was there before the surgery.
Sure.
So I'm getting you see that I'm getting a total runaround.
Yes. Well, so what's your plan now, Rose?
I really don't have a plan. I said, okay, he says it's 3/8 inch difference. I bought a pair of new shoes.
Yeah.
And I put 1/2 inch lift in the right shoe.
Okay.
I'm in agony. I've been wearing them for a month now.
Not helping.
I'm in absolute agony. My legs, I can barely get up in the morning.
Okay. So this is a complex case, and that's why we're giving you a bit more time than the average call. And what I want Rose to understand, and everybody listening, is that this is a complication of hip surgery, which we've all seen, is well recognized. And what I usually do in my practice, and what I encourage my colleagues to do, is that when something goes wrong like this, right, is you sit down with the patient and you explain, hey, this happened. I'm awfully sorry. This is a recognized complication. This is what it means to you in the short term. This is what it means to you in the long term. Now, inevitably, with a problem like this, as we've discovered from Rose, it's going to include pain. It's going to include falls. So you're going to try and fix it. The simplest way to fix it is with special shoes. Not Manolo Blancos, as I said. Not fancy shoes. These are going to be orthopedic shoes. Not exactly the most fashionable. Now, when I get a second opinion, I like to go to a place that doesn't know the first opinion. See what I mean? I don't want to go to the buddy of the guy or the gal who just operated on me or gave me the chemotherapy or whatever it is. Because, well, you know, they're buddies. They're buddies. So I'd like to go to a totally different center. Now, the fact that they may say so-and-so, that doctor is a nice person, whatever, doesn't mean that they're in cahoots or anything like that. Doesn't mean that at all. What they're trying to do in a second opinion, when they know it's complex and they know there's been problems, is make you relax and try to communicate you what your options are. Now, for me, Rose, I have to tell you categorically, I would not have surgery on my other hip. I would not do that. I mean, I would have to have a lot of pain in that hip, a lot of other issues in that hip before I would agree to having surgery with it. So I don't think that's a good solution for you. And if I was going to contemplate surgery, I would have to go to at least two other major centers that didn't know the first surgeon and get their opinion before I would agree to that. And you know what? I definitely wouldn't have that surgeon do it. Just because there's just kind of a bad atmosphere in the whole thing. So I wouldn't go back to them. And then what I would do is I would go to the best people who make these shoes, who put in the best lifts, and see what they have to offer. And when you're starting off with these kind of new shoes, these new orthopedic shoes, it's going to take some time to get used to them. That's a fact of life. No question about that. And the other thing I would talk to my primary care doctor about is, would I benefit from physical therapy or not? Will that help me get mobilized? Will that help me cope with the shoes? Will that just help me in general? And like any complication, Rose, it's not fair. I wish it hadn't happened to you, but it did. And what you want to do is not make it any worse than it already is. That's really what you're trying to do at the moment. And I think having repeat surgery at whatever point, unless there's a problem with that hip, I think we'll be making it worse. Does this mean that you're going to have to live with some chronic pain, some chronic balance problems? I think it probably does. I think it most likely does. And I could tell everybody in my practice, and what I try to do in my own daily life, is when I've got a problem like this, I try to look at what it is, I try to optimize it, and then I try to change my attitude to it. Because part of this, part of a complication is, it's unfair, it shouldn't have happened, the surgeon, you're angry. But you got to work away that anger. That surgeon is on doing different things, but you're stuck with the complication. You're stuck with the problem. Now, anybody listening to me has got to understand this. It doesn't really matter what we're doing. Whatever part of your life, you've got diabetes, you've got asthma, you've got hypertension, you've got whatever. You have to think about, I've got this problem. I can't let it dominate my life. I can't let it make me bitter. I'm not saying Rose, I'm not saying you're bitter at all. But you don't want to have any illness take over your life. You want to control it. You always want to control it. I got to go to break. When I come back, we'll finish up with Michael Phelps and cupping. Should you be doing it? This is Dr. Chambers, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers answers more of your questions when we continue. America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 9393 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 9393.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
You can learn to DIY just about anything.
Hey gang, today I'm going to show you how to deep fry a turkey. Now, we're going to need some bubbling hot oil and a vat and a few helpers, so I grabbed the kids.
After all, some things are better left to the pros, like buying a home. Because without an expert to guide you from open house to closing, you could be headed for a meltdown.
And now that the bird is cooking, let's take a power nap.
So DIY yourself a favor and get Realtor. Head to Realtor.com/getrealtor today. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This is Charles Osgood. Go down the pain relief aisle and you'll see a lot of different pain relievers. But have you tried Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel? It is fast-melting, quick-absorbing, penetrating deep relief. Perfect for sore muscles or joints. Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel has three powerful active ingredients that work for up to 8 full hours. In fact, nothing else you can buy is proven stronger or more effective against pain. Look for the tall blue box next to the Salonpas patches. Salonpas Deep Relieving Gel.
Choosy Moms Choose Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm live and local every Saturday, noon to 1. You want to call in, join the conversation, ask a question. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. That's 800-222-5222. Now, when I'm not live and local in KABC, where am I? You can check out my website, drchambersoncall.com. There I have my latest podcasts, articles, videos. Videos like, how often should you wash your sheets? There's a big study looking at single ladies, single guys. And guess how often, ladies, that the single guys wash their sheets? Now, before you chortle and say, 10 years? Single ladies weren't that great either. I guarantee you, you'll watch the video, you'll have a laugh, you'll smile. You might even, maybe even, learn a little something. Now, this week, the Olympics are in full swing. And, I mean, the superstar god, Michael Phelps, was about to dive in the water, and I noticed he had all those what looked like hickeys. But they weren't quite uneven like hickeys. They were round like cups. I thought, like, what is this? What is he doing? And it turns out that Mr. Phelps is using a thing called cupping. And cupping is just really a fancy way of bruising yourself. That's all it is. I swear, that's all it is. You're either using heat or you're using suction. And what you're trying to do is cause a bruise by bursting capillaries, and then what happens is blood flows into that area. When blood flows into that area, all kinds of what we call mediators, inflammatory mediators, move in. And Mr. Phelps and a lot of Olympians are saying when they do that, tired, overused, strained muscles get better quickly. And I said to myself when I read this, I'm like, cupping is not new. It's been around since, what, ancient times. Why all of a sudden is it the rage? And then I wanted to know, I thought, you know what? I talk about this on the show. I look up the science. I look up the evidence. And then I said to myself, why bother? What difference does it make? What the science says, right? I mean, really, Michael Phelps won 21 individual gold medals and numerous others in the team sports. So I come on the air on KABC and I say, hey, the science says that cupping doesn't work. I mean, really, who's going to believe me? Who cares? The science doesn't matter. See, what you have to understand is with any treatment, there's a placebo effect. In other words, when we're treated, we feel better because we've been treated. That's why we feel better. Mr. Phelps, he thinks the cupping helped him win the gold. Do I think that? No. There's no evidence. No, of course not. But he thinks it helped. And in the setting of the Olympics, where every edge counts, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, is that he believed it and he won the gold. So why do I bring it up today? Because none of us are going to be really cupping trying to win Olympic medals. None of us are going to be cupping to get through our everyday life. At least most of us won't. I bring them up for this reason. We live in an age when facts don't count. We live in an age when people deny vaccines. We live in an age when they tell doctors like me in our practices, don't tell patients the facts about what they want to do, that because it's not going to affect them. It's just not. if you give them facts, if you bombard them with facts, if they say to you something like, the FDA doesn't approve vaccines, and you say back, of course they do. We wouldn't be allowed to inject them into you if they didn't approve it. Ah, doesn't work. Doesn't work. What we're supposed to do is suggest to them, suggest to you, this is why it works. Maybe you should think about it. Or tell a story that's affirmative, that kind of says, oh, see, this happened and it prevented that or whatever. This week in Nigeria, they discovered two cases of polio. I've never seen polio. You probably haven't either. Polio was a scourge in America, 40s, 50s, 60s, until we got a vaccine. An absolute scourge. Lots of kids were paralyzed. Lots of kids ended up with shortened legs, just like Rose, but it was from the virus. Affected their gait, how they ran, how they walked, all that kind of stuff. Polio. Never saw it. Why do I bring up polio today? Well, you may think Nigeria is far away, and it is, but it's really only a plane ride, just a plane ride. And that polio can get back over here, and if we're not vaccinated, guess what? We have a problem. So even though I think Michael Phelps and his cupping is good for him, and it may have helped him psychologically, whatever, to win his races, I think he would have won them anyway. But all this anti-fact, all this, hey, it's ancient, hey, it's popular, hey, some superstar is doing it, means that a lot of other people will go out and start to do it. And I'm afraid that it will go off into other areas where they shouldn't be doing it. 800-222-5222 if you want to join the conversation or ask me a question live on the air here. And remember, on this show, no questions too dumb, too tough, or too embarrassing. 800-222-5222. Now, while we're on it, let's talk about ankle injuries, because I see these perfect bodies in the Olympics, both men and women, they're competing. And sometimes I see weekend warriors coming into my practice, and they've got a big swollen ankle. And they say to me, I've got a special game next Tuesday. Can you fix me up so I can run in it? I go, like, dude, you can't even walk. You're hobbling. I've got to give you crutches. Well, yeah, well, I don't have a magic potion. You know, I'm not Harry Potter. I don't have the wand that can make you better. So what I want to get across to you is, when you've injured your ankle, it can be a life-altering event. And sometimes when I walk into a room and I say, your ankle's big and swollen, I've looked at the x-ray, and guess what? There's no fracture. There's a big smile on the person's face because they have no fracture, they've got no break, the bone is intact. You go, cool. But that doesn't mean that you haven't injured your ankle in a significant way. Not at all. And the problem with an ankle injury is this. If you don't treat it properly, you don't rest it, you don't elevate it, you don't ice it, and stay off it until all the swelling and all the pain goes away, it affects how you walk, it affects how you run. And what we've found over the years was this. If you don't treat a sprained ankle properly, if you don't restore the ligaments, if you don't watch what's going on, in the long term, people walk less, run less, exercise less, and they end up putting on weight. It's a cause of obesity. And this may sound crazy to you. You say, like, I mean, I injured my ankle when I'm in my 20s, and you're saying in my 40s, I'm exercising less. It's a subconscious thing. You don't realize it. You've pain when you're running, the ankle is bothering you, so you don't do it. You do less and less. You become more of a couch potato. So what I want to get home to you on this little segment is this. You sprain your ankle, it's not trivial. Because most of us think, sprain my ankle, it'll go away. Well, what do I have to worry about? It won't go away. If after a week your ankle is still big and swollen and there was no break, no fracture, then you got to go see somebody. Probably best to see someone who specializes in ankles. That's really what it is. And remember this very important point. If you still have persisting pain and swelling the ankle and the foot, the most common missed ankle fracture is a foot fracture. In other words, they didn't x-ray the foot and they missed one of those little bones, like the metatarsals, has been broken. So don't think of these injuries as trivial. Don't think that a big swollen ankle, just because you can walk in it, it's okay. Treat it with respect or it will have long-term consequences for you. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. Want to join the conversation or ask me a question? That's 800-222-5222. When I come back, The DEA made a decision on marijuana this week. And they basically said that marijuana is as dangerous as heroin. So we're going to leave it as a what we call a Schedule 1 drug. And not as dangerous as OxyContin. And I go like, what? Who made this decision? Do they have any medical training? Do they have any medical experience? I will give you my full unadulterated opinion when I come back. This is Dr. Chambers live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers on Call will continue answering more of your questions.
Hey, it's Jillian, and I want to tell you guys about Northwest Rugs and Furniture. Did you know they've been locally owned for 24 years? They've got the largest selection of rugs on the West Coast, and they pride themselves on having quality rugs and furniture at affordable prices. I should know, I bought a rug about 10 years ago that I still have in my dining room. Northwest Rugs and Furniture has a diverse selection of dining room, bedroom, and living room furniture. There's a huge sale going on right now with 25% off and lowest prices of the season on rugs. Make sure to visit their new store in Sherman Oaks and visit nwrugs.com.
This weekend on Champions of Justice, it's the human side of the judiciary. Tom Girardi talks with Judge Janet Berry about a judge's job on the bench and in the community. She also talks about the pros and cons of lawyers advertising and cameras in the courtroom. This weekend, it's Here Come the Judge. Tune in Champions of Justice, Saturday morning at 11 and Sunday night at 10. Here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222. If you want to ask me a question live on the air, 800-222-5222. Now, when I'm not live and local on KABC, where am I? You can check out my digital home, drchambersoncall.com. There you can catch my latest podcasts, videos, articles. There's articles on all kinds of things. There's some podcasts on sexual health, stuff I can't talk about on terrestrial radio, but you find it on the website. It's adult-oriented. It's about health. Check it out. I think you might like it. Of course, I'm on Facebook, Dr. Chambers on Call. If you swing by, you can comment on the show, maybe suggest topics for the show. If you are there, please hit like. Let me know you visited. And of course, on Twitter, it's at Dr. JC on Call. That's DRJC on Call. Now, the DEA came out this week after 5 years and said, a five-year study, they were talking about, should marijuana be rescheduled? Rescheduled means that at the moment it's classified as Schedule 1, which is a highly dangerous, highly addictive drug that cannot be used and cannot be studied. Cannot be studied by doctors. Cannot be studied by scientists. And we've been saying for years that, you know what, we need to study marijuana. We need to understand marijuana. We need to know if marijuana is effective in medical problems like epilepsy. Right? Because thousands, millions of people are using marijuana every single day in America. And the DEA said there was no medical evidence whatsoever that marijuana was a credible treatment for anything. Now, that's just not true. It just isn't true. But it gets worse than that. The fact that it's a Schedule 1 means that guys like me, doctors like me, scientists, can study it. What the DEA are saying is that marijuana is every bit as bad as heroin. And not as bad as OxyContin, Oxy, which is Schedule 2, which means I can prescribe it, which means I can study it. Now, I'm an acute care physician. I'm in the trenches every day treating people just like you in your car, at home in the podcast, whatever. Ordinary, everyday people. And I've seen the devastating effects of OxyContin. Not just on millennials, not just on the four-year-olds. I've seen OxyContin being prescribed for people in their 80s. I've seen addiction. I've seen all kinds of nasty stuff. In fact, I think Oxy is such a bad drug, I don't prescribe it anymore. And here we have the DEA telling us that marijuana is far more dangerous than OxyContin. And it's not. And what the DEA needs to do is look back at this decision and go, oh, I made a boopie. I really didn't do a good one on this. There's even members of Congress, Bernie Sanders, no big surprise, said they need to reconsider. But there are several Republicans who came out this week and said the DEA needs to reconsider. We need to know if all the claims for medical marijuana are actually real or not. We need to know, is medical marijuana really that good for nausea? Because the few studies that are out there show that the newer drugs like Zofran are actually better for nausea than marijuana. But does marijuana cure epilepsy or treat epilepsy or manage epilepsy? Does marijuana manage epilepsy, the drugs, other drugs we have, not as well? We need to know this. There are parents moving from some parts of the country to states that have legalized marijuana so they can treat their children because they feel that the marijuana, the drug, is helping their kids control their epilepsy. And like any treatment that we give patients, we need to know, does it work and is it safe? That's what we need to know. We're not saying the DEA should set up shop and give out free marijuana. We're just saying allow us to study it. As a Schedule 1 drug, it's tough for us to study it. In fact, if you want to study marijuana, there's only one source where you can go that the DEA will allow you to go and get the drug. They've opened that up a little bit, which is a good thing in this new ruling, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And my final point in all of this is we should not, definitely not be locking up people because they smoke marijuana. Absolutely ridiculous. 800-222-5222 if you want to join the conversation. Now, this week, this summer actually, we've had really bad levels of ozone in the air here in California. In fact, we've had the worst smog in many, many years, and especially affecting things like the Inland Empire. So what does that mean? That means that when the smog is this bad, people cough and wheeze. People feel poorly. They get short of breath. And people with asthma and people with COPD, smoker's lung disease, people with reactive airways, or just generally those who get colds will suffer more. And some people may actually die because the smog is bad. Now, this is where public health comes in. Because you as an individual, you can't control the smog. You can't control the emissions coming from cars, from trucks, whatever. The government has to do that. The government has to do it. Now, the South Coast Air District, they're the people who are in charge of, like, controlling, managing smog, believe it or not. Yeah. And there's some accusations that in the last few years, guess what? They've been a slightly bit more cozy with the industry than they should. Now, we can't, as I said, control what trucks and cars are doing. We can't control the weather either. Because this heavy heat, this humid, it's all adding in there. But what we should say this, and what everybody should understand is this, we're all breathing, we all need to breathe, and without it, we won't be alive. And we really need to have the air as clean as we possibly can. Whereas you as an individual can't control that, but you can tell the presidential candidates, you can tell the politicians that we need strict air control quality. Otherwise, we won't be breathing very well. Now, I have a special interest in this because guess why? I am an asthmatic. And we asthmatics, we cough and wheeze even more when the ozone is kind of rife in the air. Now, ozone is just, it's a thing. It's a searing gas that's formed from a combination of stuff. All the emissions from our trucks, our cars, all that kind of stuff. And it's not healthy for us. But we should be striving as a society to minimize this and get away from these bad smog days, get away from the smog that we had way back in the 20th century in the 70s and 80s when it was really just awful. I'm almost out of time here. There's a couple of other things I wanted to wrap up before I went away for another week. And one of them was this, all these headlines came out this week about flossing. Flossing is something that most of us do every day. You know when you get that little cord thing to go up underneath your teeth, up underneath the gum line, you remove all the food particles and all that kind of stuff. Well, the AP, the Associated Press, came out with this and they said, you know what? Flossing probably doesn't work. Flossing is probably a waste of time. When you read this, you go like, wow, have we all been wasting hours of our lives flossing with no benefits? And then you start digging into it. And you start looking and saying, hey, maybe the studies that we're looking at weren't that good. Maybe the data and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I try to do on this show. What I try to do is take these stark headlines that say something silly like flossing doesn't work and say, how did it get to there? How do they make that statement? Is it accurate? And whereas they may have technically interpreted data correctly in saying that it didn't work in these studies, but maybe the studies themselves weren't that good. And the best comment I read about this was from an orthodontist, Andrew Suratik. It's a complicated name. Sorry if I mispronounced it there, Andrew. And basically he said that flossing is better than having a root canal because flossing doesn't come with a needle. And I have to agree with him. Flossing doesn't come with a needle. So when you see these startling headlines, you kind of think to yourself, ah, what does that mean? Is it really accurate? And if you want to comment on my Facebook page about a headline that you've seen and you want to know, is it true? You can always just send me a message and say, hey, doc, is this true? Should I believe this? Should I follow this? The other headline that grabbed me this morning when I was prepping the show was, simple anti-inflammatory cures Alzheimer's symptoms. And I thought, my God, who would write a headline like that? It was on the International Business Times. So I dove into the article, and the full headline was, not just a little sub-headline, was it cures symptoms in mice. And you're like, really? And the anti-inflammatory was mefenamic acid, which a lot of women use in menstrual cramps, Ponsil it's called. And you go like, why would somebody put out such a dangerous headline? And that's what I do in this show, Dr. Chambers on Call. It's what I do on my website, drchambersoncall.com. Take these headlines, take this information, and try to interpret it for your life so that you can have accurate stuff so you can say to yourself, oh, this is what I should be doing, and this is what I shouldn't be doing. Or you can ignore this headline. It's just a headline for clickbait. That's really all. That's what this show is about. Now, when I'm not live and local on KABC, you can follow me on my website, which is drchambersoncall.com. Twitter is drchambersoncall. And, sorry, it's Dr. JC on call, DRJC on call. And my Facebook page is Dr. Chambers on Call. And when you visit Facebook, you know, hit like, let me know you were there. Because it's good to know that you're around. It's good to know that you're listening to the show. You can comment on today's show. You can make suggestions for the show as we go along. And my final thought of the week was this. One of my patients went to a major ER here in California. Not saying where it was. And they saw the ER doc, and he had a bunch of tests, and he had some scans. And then they came to me and said, like, why did I have all these tests? Why did I really need all this? And they thought the doc didn't really address the problem. And what I'm trying to get across to my patient and what I want you to understand is this. When you go to an emergency room, they're going to solve the acute problem of that moment. They're going to solve that problem at that moment or get you admitted to the hospital. Their job is not to look out for you on the chronic basis what's down the road. Their job is to prioritize what the problem is at that moment and fix it and refer you on. And they have a list of things that they've got to satisfy to make sure that you can leave the emergency room safely. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to address all the problems you have. So when you're leaving the emergency room, guess what? When they tell you you've got to follow up with your primary care doctor, when they tell you you've got to follow up with your own specialist, they mean that. They mean that they've just addressed that acute little problem. They haven't looked out for the long term, so you need to go and get more done. And people need to put all those tests and everything else you've done in context. And maybe, just maybe, they need to do some more things to make sure that you are actually healthy and that the problem is taken care of. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'll be back next Saturday, noon to 1, and every Saturday, noon to 1, with a live call-in medical show based on clinical evidence. Don't forget, my website is drchambersoncall.com, Twitter, drjconcall, and Facebook, of course, Dr. Chambers on Call. I'll be back next Saturday at noon. This is Dr. Chambers on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The information in this show is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a replacement or substitute for professional medical advice and or treatment. Consult with your own doctor for information and advice on your specific medical condition or questions.
Dr. Chambers on Call, sponsored by City of Hope.